Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Tuesday, February 16 at 3:02 p.m.
Showtime, let's get this thing started here. Okay, let's call the Board of Commissioners meeting to order and stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kevin knew that, did I? Got a little ahead of myself.
What happened? I heard something on the line there.
Yeah, I did.
Let's call roll, please.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Tony Gomez.
Here.
Rick Boskay.
I'm here.
Dick McNair and Bill Rohde are absent.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Commissioner McNair and Rohde for today's meeting.
I'll second it.
Well, I was going to second Rohde's.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
He said both.
He did both, right?
I did both, okay. Right.
All right, yeah, so we got a motion for the, with Tony and then,
I just,
and then,
is that
and then myself. Can we call roll, please?
I had it in both.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the back wall in the west near the entrance for anybody that cares to view with us. We're going to look at the consent agenda items. There's A, B, C, D, and E, and I'm going to pull B from here, which is the approval for the payroll claims, because on miscellaneous we want to talk about that, the weather issue that we had a couple weeks ago. So we'll come back to that. So as far as A, the approval of the previous minutes from the first, the approval of accounts payable claims, Tony and I went over them. Everything seems to be in order. Approval of the officials' reports, and then the approval of the business associate agreement between Welldyne and Dakota County regarding the exchange information about the members that they're protected by the HIPAA Act 1996. So I need approval for the consent agenda items excluding B for the
time being. I'll make a motion to approve A, C, D, and E and the consent agenda items.
Okay.
Second it.
All right. Rick and Tony, can you call roll, please, Tony?
Rick?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to get right into new business here. We got Robert Rapp and Amy Kleinberg, Three Rivers, to present the board the county health care plan results for the past year and request approval for the stop loss contract renewal.
Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, normally Don Faber is here with us. He is taking kind of a semi-retired status, and he is at another meeting and couldn't be here today. So I know Don has spoken with you guys since individually on this. So the good news is, there really isn't any bad news. Is the fixed costs went up a little bit, and your claims went down a little bit. So Amy's here to give you all the ins and outs because she's our expert. She does this every day for the self-funded group. So I will turn it over to her. She'll walk you through all of the information. And again, if she has any questions, defer to her. Don't ask me.
Okay, should we get right into it?
Yes.
If we flip to the second page, first page after the... You were on the right one.
I was right.
Yeah.
Just confusing me.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So this is just basically a synopsis of your whole year. We go through, give you your counts, singles and families, your fixed cost based on those counts, total paid claims. That gives you a total cost. The aggregate is that umbrella protection that you have if the claims for the whole group go over a certain level, and there's a minimum amount every month that you hit. And then we pull claims out that are not eligible for that aggregate. That's going to be dental claims. That's going to be claims that are over the specific deductible that you self-fund. And so if we go down to that middle portion, your total fixed cost, just shy of $160,000. Total paid claims, $540,000. We pull out the ineligible. Again, those are the dental, some of the specific claims. It gives us a total cost to date. If we go over to the other side, we can see employee cost $722, average family $1,700, and you can see that we are at 65% of that aggregate attachment point, which is fantastic. So that's part of the reason why your renewal looks the way that it does, is they like to see that. They like to see that lever on the left-hand side. So any questions on that page? The page behind it is just the backup for everything on that front page. It's all the same information, so I don't really need to take a look at that. If we flip to the next page, this is a breakdown of what are your medical claims, what of those are prescription claims, and your dental. The vision doesn't really register because a lot of those run through on the medical side in our system, so that's the reason they show zero. You've had vision claims. They're represented in the medical number. The breakout looks good. There's nothing unusual there. If we flip to the next page, claims by relationship, again, for your enrollment here, that looks really good. You have very few families enrolled on your plan, and that's the reason why their slice of the pie is so small. Mm-hmm. Okay, mostly singles in the dependents. So nothing unusual about that, given the makeup of your group. The rest of the pages are just a little bit more detailed. I'm not sure we want to go through all of those. It basically just breaks things down by age, which are the top providers that we've paid, what are the top diagnosis codes, procedure codes. Those are all in there. If you look through it and you have questions, you can call me at any time and we can go through it. But again, there's nothing unusual when I was putting these together. That jumped out on me. The providers that are the most utilized ones make sense. That's your prescription benefit manager. That's the two local hospitals. So there's nothing at all that presents a red flag in the rest of these reports. Okay? So...
I know when Don called us individually, I think he called myself first, and I explained to him that the two were going to be gone, and I think he called each one of you, and mm-hmm. he was just ecstatic.
The city's in the same position, and theirs was almost as flat as yours, just a little less flat than yours was. You're right, that... John wanted me to. I'm glad you brought that up, Scott. That doesn't happen very often. If you all have individual businesses, you know what you're seeing in the fully funded market, you're not seeing renewals like this, unfortunately. It's paying off. The things you're doing are paying off, and it's working. It's working very well. It's working very well.
I know I brought up to Joan, and we've talked about our deductibles, and I know he kind of told me the plan that you got going with South Sioux with their union contracts, etc. And again, I always forget about at times about the three different union contracts that the county has mm-hmm. on top of the non-bargaining, the courthouse. But I know that he kind of said the structure of maybe down the road each year of. I just think that our deductible. Don't get me wrong. I mean. I think a deductible is unheard of. It's nice for everyone, but at the same time, I think if we can save money, you know, by over the next 3 years and slowly just, you know, creep that up. I'm not talking no crazy dollar amount of, you know, $2,500 or $5,000, but, you know, get it to realistic dollar amount.
Right.
And just see where it takes us and the kind of monies that we can save.
Right. Well, you're right, because that's unheard of. You know, for to have still a $250 deductible, that's just not in the industry. It's just not unless you're doing a self-fund like this. So, but you're right. If you step it up, you know, through your negotiations, I know that gets to be a prickly issue, but if you step it up a little bit here, a little bit there, you could see some more savings involved.
And just like I told Don, not that I'm looking to pay more money. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I participate with my family on this, but at the same time, it's all about the monies that the county has mm-hmm. and what we're trying to save. And mm-hmm. you know, I guess we'll just have to look at it when the time comes.
Right.
Well, there's something else that I'd like to see the county do as a group would be to have a wellness incentives. You know, like if you go to the gym, you know, if the deductible goes up to, let's say, $500 or $1,000, if you go to the gym, we'll give you X amount of points to take off of that. That takes off your deductible. If you are a non-smoker, non-drinker, non-tobacco use, chew, whatever,
it takes off. You're getting a little too technical now.
So I don't do any of that, but I, you know. But anyway, they're doing that. I think South Sioux implemented some of that.
Yeah.
And I know that the school systems are doing that.
Yeah.
So if you're healthy, you get rewarded by a lower deductible.
So I think the county has the wellness program here, you know, and I don't see very many active.
But this would make them active because it would be an incentive.
Sure.
You would think that it should, but.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things you.
Excuse me. I was insured with the state prior to coming here, and they have that incentive program. The incentive program started with the first year that you're voluntary to be in it. After that, it was mandatory or you had a higher deductible period. Mm-hmm. You had 1 year. After that, your spouse, if he was under or she was under, had to participate in the wellness as well. So it was set where it was basically mandatory that they were in it.
It's mandatory in the school systems. It's, well, I know not in this school system in South Sioux, but and there's other ones that I know of that I've researched that are it's mandatory.
And again, that's going to be a long term issue where you're probably not going to see those results for another. The city's just starting to see some results, and it's going to be a long term. Where it might be a 5 to 6 year horizon before you actually see some results. But right, if you start incentivizing more or if you want to get down to the mandatory road, I guess that's something you could discuss. Yeah, but
talk about it. Well, yeah. It makes the health of everybody better, and then it lowers the insurance premium for the county. And
well, just get them thinking about wellness, which is half the battle, is if that starts to be in the forefront of their mind. There's a lot of ways you can incent. You can give an extra vacation day if they do certain things. You can reduce their premium. You can reduce their deductible.
Correct.
You can do all of those things. And they usually do work, but it does take a while to see an actual return on investment because it takes a while for that, you know, to see that they're not having the claims that they did. But it's definitely worth it.
I just read somewhere it takes 62 days to get into a health routine habit. 62 days.
That's still just like 290 days that you can actually be in it. Right?
Instead of 62, yeah.
I read this, I'm thinking 62 days, wow.
I really do think we need to look at doing it. And we got our union contracts coming up, and I think it'd be a great deal to put in them.
Something to think about.
That we can talk about later.
Put our thinking caps on and figure out what we want
to
do.
Well, I think that you guys will help us implement that.
Oh, obviously, yeah. You're paying for it anyway.
Right.
You're paying for the service and the administration and stuff anyway. You know,
might as well take advantage of it.
Right. Exactly.
And I mean, the simplest thing that you could do is you have a copay on your wellness visits right now. If you take that off, where it costs them nothing to go for their well visits. It's only $25, but that will keep some people from going. So that's a simple thing you can do right off the bat
mm-hmm.
to let them know that that's something you want them to think about.
Okay? I'm sure there's a lot of ways we can structure it.
Yeah. We just have to make sure that nothing is outcome-based. As long as they participate, whether or not they lower their cholesterol, they lose weight, they stop smoking, if they participate, they get the incentive, period. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
Otherwise, it's not compliant and you can get in big trouble. We don't want that.
Well, that's where you guys will keep us straight.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Well, according to Don, that is not a brainy. I mean, through the renewal order health plan, I mean, it's just simple. I mean.
Yeah, Don said the sooner we get this thing done, the better off we are.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I actually brought the disclosure statement, which is when that's signed, they stop underwriting. So if somebody gets hit by a bus tomorrow, it's not going to affect your rates if that disclosure statement is signed. So I have a copy of it that I can.
We'll get her signed today. So, is there anything else you guys want to add? Any other questions for Amy? Or
it's pretty clear, I think. You know, I'd like to make a motion to approve that.
Do you want to present what?
We can go through the numbers.
That very last page.
Behind the pink page, yes.
The new.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, I was excited.
Okay.
I want to get out of here.
Well, we'll go really quick.
The second call, the renewal call.
Yeah, I mean, that's really probably the only one that we need to look at. I don't see any reason to move it or talk about changing any of the numbers. So admin fees went up a little bit.
Can you make this a little bit smaller?
Yeah.
Full disclosure, Scott. Full disclosure.
Most of your fixed costs stay the same. The admin fees went up, so that's part of where your fixed cost, that little increase is. If we drop down to specific stop loss, you can see there's a little bit of an increase there, a little bit of an increase on the family, $99.84, $252.21. The ag premium actually went down a little bit. So fixed costs went up almost $6,000. I mean, it's very small. Mm-hmm. So...
like 3.some percent.
Yeah, like 3.6.
Your fixed costs went up about 3%. Your claims actually went down 3%.
Right.
That's where you get the washing effect.
Right.
Yeah.
And the claims, what that to like 20-some thousand?
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes.
Yeah.
Like your total. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a bigger percentage.
Right.
Is so 3% is more on that than the fixed costs.
Yeah. So if we go down to the very bottom, we can see that if we look at that expected aggregate attachment point, that's basically going to be your claims. Last year it was at 529,560,568.64, and with the renewal it's at 503,619,85. So that's where the bulk of the expense of your plan is the claims that you're paying, not the admin fees, so or the fixed costs. So, overall, really good renewal.
Now I'm ready for my plan, for my motion.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry about that. Well, I just went as far as this. I never see this. But anyway, I'd like to make a motion to approve the health care plan for the Three Rivers, the way they describe it to us. So
I'll second that.
Okay, Joni, we got a... motion and a second. You want to call roll for the health care renewal?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your business. I appreciate it.
Do you want me to sign something before you leave?
If you want to sign it before I leave, that'd be great.
Next year when you come back, I'll make sure this Scott's not smoking anymore. I mean, chewing tobacco.
Yeah, I don't smoke. I just like to chew once in a while. God forbid I have a bad habit. Okay, I've never drank in my lifetime. Okay,
very
but I like
well,
to live. Okay,
all right.
You guys don't have papers in one of the backs of your books, do you?
I can't say any of them.
You have something in, look in your book.
Newspapers in the back anywhere?
That's far to go.
Did you lose a signature card?
Maybe I'll slip that back here. I'm pretty sure I have them.
Hold okay.
Okay. Hey, let's then they go to Woodstock.
Let's. While she's looking for that, let's. We're going to open up a public hearing here for the purpose of the highway superintendent to present the 1- and 6-year road plan to the board, and for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, and make neutral comments regarding the plan. So. Let's listen to Fred Kellogg present this, and then we'll...
This is a plan mandated by the state of Nebraska for every county to fill out and send in. I hope you all have a copy of the 1 and 6. If you do, you'll notice that the 1-year plan is a little skimpy due to budgets and a few other things. A lot of things went on the 2-year plan. Which can be moved up, or this plan is kind of a guideline. We can add or move up any project that we like. The only thing we have on the 1-year plan for right now is to replace a bridge on 210th Street. That was a bridge that was damaged by back in the storms 2 years ago. We do have a little FEMA money in with that, but the cost is right around $350,000. The other project is grade and gravel Perry Avenue four-tenths of a mile south of Highway 35. And like I say, the rest, there's quite a list of two-year projects that can be moved up, and I think budget time will probably tell us where we are with other projects or anything that wants to be added. It's not a big deal to add to our 1 and 6 throughout the year.
Yeah, it can be mixed around, but I think we all understand that. And then, like I said, coming budget time, if we can maybe spend time where we're at, if we want to.
That M Avenue, that's going up to the Cramper, or Danny Shelf's Cramper Lake area?
Correct. That 207th, sorry, 203rd Street, excuse me. Right.
Yeah.
We got to put a name on that road. Okay.
M Avenue?
No. That 203rd.
Oh, 203rd. Name it.
We got to name it. And nobody can ever remember the number of it. And
yeah,
when the road was finished, it was there was no suggestion.
Right, right. And we can put that on at any time, right?
Correct.
We should probably discuss that sometime or kind of come up with something. But I think it should be named. I should have a name on it. I think. Just my opinion.
It'd be nice to have something on there.
Yeah. But anyways, that's off the beaten path a little bit, but. Okay. Any questions here for Fred before we open up to the public here? No?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Fred. Okay. Well, let's get the public hearing being open here. If anybody in attendance, any support, put the 1 and 6. 0. Any opposition? Anyone? Any neutral comments? No? All right. Well, with that, we'll close the public hearing, and we will move on to C. And C is Fred Carlog, the Highway Superintendent, requesting the Board to pass and approve Resolution 16C-002, adopting the 1 and 6 year road plan.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 16C-002, adopting the 1 and 6 year road plan.
Second.
Okay, Joni, we got a Rick and we got Tony. Call roll, please. Forgot your name for a second there, Tony.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick.
You want to hand those down to Joni?
Is Rick good? Did
you?
Yes. Okay. I didn't know. I didn't hear him. Sorry. Okay. Let's go to D. We're going to approve Chair to sign the letter supporting regarding Ho-Chunk Inc. requesting an application for the Nebraska racing license. I think we all kind of got a rough draft of the letter somewhere here, but it just basically is this the Dakota County supporting. Their adventure out there at Attica, I'm assuming that's where it's going in at. Is that correct?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yep. I know I had a letter around here somewhere. But
and a
here
picture.
It is. Just kind of a draft.
Mm-hmm.
It just basically states that, you know, of the excitement of hearing that the reopening of a horse track in Dakota County. It just kind of talks about the history of going back to 1950 when the Attica Downs first opened, and on behalf of the county, we would be honored to have Ho-Chunk and the commitment of the community. So, just a rough draft of a letter, but you want my copy here? Does Tony want it?
No, I just want it. Well, I can look.
Look at mine.
Yeah,
I think it's a good deal if they're gonna bring it back, and it's going to bring some more tourism into the county. Because there used to be a lot of people used to come to Dakota County
for
the horse races.
Exactly. That's nice.
I'm sure they'll do it right.
Sure. Well, I've been always support Ho-Chunk and his adventures and promote the growth, so I would like to make a motion to for us to send a letter in support of the project.
Okay. Got a motion by Tony.
And I'll second that.
Second by Rick. We'll call roll on that. Tony, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move into miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg. Road report. I did your road report last time you were gone. If you have missed it, it was pretty awesome. And I got thinking, you know, we really don't need Fred, but I guess if I'm going to be tortured being here.
Nope,
you're not out. No, I did. You can do a lot better job than what I can. But I did fairly well, though, didn't I, Kim?
Yes.
I did well. I'm clear from Hawaii. I was Fred Kellogg. It was awesome.
January 31st, February 13th. Total maintenance hours is 80. Overtime hours, 108. Snow removal, 360 hours of snow removal. What's interesting is, to me, is 1,000 tons of, over 1,000 tons of aggregate hauled in the same week that we have 360 hours of snow removal. So that tells you right there to me what kind of a last 2 weeks we've had and probably what we're in store for. Sign repair, 27 hours, 15 signs. Snow removal, when it comes to road concerns, we had a lot of calls during the snow event. She asked, I wanted them listed, and I told her no. It was the same thing every when the road was going to be open or needed to be opened again because it blew shut. But we had a lot of calls on snow, and we're starting to get just that many on rock now.
I know I had a few calls on the snow covering fences up, and guys were worried about their cows getting out. But you know, what do you do?
I pushed snow when I was a kid and got in trouble for burying fences.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed anything. When you're widening the roads, they were calling for, and we got the 40, 50 mile an hour winds just a few days later. You don't widen them out, all that work just goes right mm-hmm. down the tube. So I did talk to a couple landowners and that had herds, and I told them it's just part of country, and I think all in all, he understood.
Some people is you know, they don't understand, but most of them that I phone calls that I have, you know, it seems to me they don't understand. I mean, because this is my answer that I give them. I said, you know, right after the storm, they want to get the cattle out. They want to do this. They want to do that. And I said, you know, there's six maintainers out there that we got that I know, you know, maybe we got some extra help. I don't know. You know, I haven't called Fred, but realistically, we focus on the main roads right now, you know, just get the traffic flow and whatever, but eventually it'll get it to you. Well, yeah, but you know, when you guys need the money for taxes, you're not, you know, you pay your time. Yeah, I understand. But, you know, some people there understand the situation, some people they don't. And I don't care how you explain it. I mean, really. There's even phone calls that I didn't even bother you to call you because I know you were busy. So, but hey, we need to put up with that. I mean,
all in all, I think the men did a good job.
They
spent the Tuesday night
at the shop.
At the shop, four or five guys actually slept over, so they were there.
And they didn't go home until all the roads were open.
Yeah,
at least
sure.
One night.
So
yeah,
it's not an easy chore. That to me, they did a good job. Man. Like I say, they not looking for anything more than just to say their job got their job done.
Sure. No, you did a good job, Fred.
All right. Any other questions? If not, thanks, Fred.
Thanks for the report, Fred.
On miscellaneous B, they withdrew. They do not want to be on the agenda. Is that correct? And so with that, we're going to go to C, discussion regarding the proposal for city-county school joint lobbying efforts. Or do you want to come up and say something here? Or?
Sure, I can.
Do you think so, maybe, possibly? I know that at our city joint county meeting, I know that that was kind of an issue that
We brought up.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'd like to hear what you had to say. I know that we obviously deal with NACO, and I think that night after the meeting, before the music came on, and I was talking to
you. She must have been in a different place than I was. I don't remember music.
Are you kidding? Or whatever came on?
No, it was TV.
Right.
It was a lot of racket. It just so happens it was 8 o'clock, and that's why I said we had to be out there. It was pretty.
No, you're right. It did it.
It was,
I remember that now, yes.
But anyways, go ahead.
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll just give you a few highlights. The Chamber of Commerce hosts a legislative meeting every 2 weeks during session, and every time we have different topics and for discussion. So probably early January, we had a group come in, Open Sky, and they gave updates on what was going on at the legislature, and they really talked about the taxes and what the governor's proposing for cutting taxes and some impact that's going to have. And it's going to have a large impact on Dakota County and our school district. They're talking about the possibility of losing $625,000 in next year's budget, and that's just by one little cut that's going to be happening. So in all those different conversations we had, we talked about the effort that all of us make, myself, the school district, the county, everyone that has to go up to Lincoln. And as we know, it's a full day trip whenever you decide to go, because, you know, the drive up and back alone is over a half day. So we were talking about, is there any way that we then can joint collaboratively work on some of these efforts together? And in my notes here, I have South Sioux City, Dakota City, South Sioux City School District, the Chamber of Commerce, Dakota County, and possibly Homer as the ones that are looking to do a collaboration effort of working together. So we reached out to a law firm up in the Lincoln area that does monitoring service of the legislature, and what would that cost? What would that look like for all of us? And they actually sent us a nice proposal back that gives us different options. If we're looking at just monitoring, if we're looking at monitoring and lobbying, what are some of the things that we would look at? And this group that we contacted was recommended by one of our lawyers.
What's the firm's name?
I knew Zukowski Weber.
Yeah. Is it the Weber? I just say
yeah.
Weber.
Zukowski.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how to say it. Zukowski and Weber. And so they are willing to work with us. And again, this can be tweaked to whatever works for us as a group and whatever we're looking to do. But we know that there's bills we miss. This year alone, there's 450 bills introduced, and that's very hard to track all of them and stay on top of it. So this would give us an opportunity to work with somebody that we would let them know what we're looking for, and then they would send us that information. That way we would stay on top of it. Again, it's not something we're looking to do immediately. We're just trying to approach the conversation and see if there's any way that we could collaborate and work together. It might not be something that goes into place till next year even. But we wanted to start to have that conversation with everybody. We're going to try to pull a meeting together with a representative from each group and have that conversation. But we just feel like we really need to have more power up at the legislature and make sure that Northeast Nebraska is being heard with our senators, because of the impacts that the decisions they make impact us greatly. And I'll give you another example. I was running through all those bills and I just happened to see one on the cigar shop that came up this year, and another one on taxes again on cigarettes and stuff. And so I shot those over to Callahan Liquor and said, hey, this bill's going to impact you. It's going to, you know, have an adverse impact on your cigar shop. And he thanked me, and he went to Lincoln and testified himself. So
Shannon did that?
Yep. And so, I mean, it's, again, if somebody has to catch them first, because if you don't keep an eye on it, something could slip through that could have a bad impact on one of your businesses, and that's not what we want. I mean, that's what's important to us, is making sure that we're helping everybody if we can.
What was their proposal?
Yes, actually, I had given a copy to Joan.
If I made a copy.
I'll just quickly, on the back here, depending, again, which we would choose, we propose to provide the comprehensive legislative monitoring and lobbying work outlined, which they talked about having a team, having somebody at the legislature, having a lobbyist there every day, being able to speak on our behalf, that would be $3,000 per month. So if you look at, if we had five different entities involved with that, it could be approximately $500 a month or $400 a month, depending
on how many months does that go for?
Again, we choose that. It's either during the short session, long session, or if you want it all year long. It's whatever we want them to do. The other proposal is if you decide on monitoring only, where, again, they send us the information and just keep us on top of everything, that's $1,250 a month. So you can see there's a wide range there, the $1,250 or the $3,000, depending on what we're looking at. However, she also said, you know, with there being a new law firm as well, that they really would like to work with our group, so they're open to a proposal. If this does not work, what they sent us, if we would like to sit down with them and visit and say what would work for us, they're willing to adjust it as well. And so much of this just depends on involvement. If we have one entity or six entities, of course, being involved will make it how that looks different.
Or is this something that this law firm's just getting into, or are they...
Nope, actually they've done this for a while. It's just that they're a new partnership.
Oh, okay.
Weber, I believe, is the one that was in Washington, D.C., and just moved back to the area. So they actually used to do this out in Washington, D.C., but now they've just come back to Lincoln and have set up this new firm.
I know Larry Dix. You know who Larry Dix is?
I don't know.
He's the NACO executive director, and he's been, he's been around forever.
Sure.
And he wrote a letter back to Joan just stating that that he's aware of there's three counties right now that have their own lobbyist,
mm-hmm.
and it's like Douglas, Sarpy, and Lancaster, and he says that this Weber firm, he said that he's dealt with them and they're very capable,
mm-hmm.
and he says that if we do decide that, he said, as far as not knowing what the dollar amount is, he just said if we are in agreement, he'd be happy to reach out to them and assist them as they would be in a lobbying effort, so...
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And NACO does do some of that for the counties.
And Joan would be able to, you know, I think
Larry Dix volunteered to come to one of our board meetings and let us know what he does do. So if you want to hear that before.
And I think what our board of directors did today at our meeting was they did not move to put a dollar to this. What they did propose was to move it forward for conversation, to say, let's continue looking at this, let's get somebody from each of the groups together, see if we can have a meeting and see what does it look like, you know, what are we trying to achieve with it, is this something that we want to do, but to keep it moving forward in that area. And
so will this eliminate the trips such as yourself, Dr. Fisher?
I would say not necessarily eliminate. I think it actually will help us stay on so we don't miss something.
Yeah, I would guess I was under the impression that it would help to eliminate, because that's the way that it was presented to
right.
me, that you guys spend a lot of time going down there and it would...
Dr. Fisher probably spends more time than anyone going down, because there's so much riding on the school district and what they have to lose with the property tax evaluations and everything. So I would say, you know, the school district by far goes down the most. But I do think the other issue that's come up a couple of times is we've missed a few things that we should have been aware of, and I think that's where this is heading, is so that we don't miss those things. But it also could be either way. We could end up going down more because all of a sudden something's put in front of us that we need to deal with.
Right.
But also I see it. That's again a benefit to us, so that we don't lose out on something. There's been a few times where people are like, well, why weren't you at the table? I didn't see anybody from South Sioux or Sioux City or Northeast even there. Well, because we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's some of this for it. But I'd say there's no guarantees on it keeping us away, you know, or not going down as often. I think it's just getting us on top of the issues that we need to be on top of.
And I've done that before. I've went down there and testified, and I've been down there and went around and talked to the different senators about things. And there are lobbyists that walk in. But if one of us walk in...
Big difference.
It is. We go first.
Yep.
If you walk in and you say from Dakota County, the lobbyists kind of...
Yeah. And I've heard that several times, is they would rather have their constituents in front of them and listening to us, the people, and not the lobbyists, mm-hmm. because the lobbyists are there every day, in and out, all the time, in their face. You know, whereas we don't get in front of them that often. So when we do, you're right. Dr. Fisher just took down four teachers last week to talk about 958, and two of the the teachers testified that day, and he said they, same way, they treated them wonderful, and they got to go out and talk first, and I think that's really important.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's something that we can, I guess, look at. We get a full board here, and I guess we can maybe down the road here put it on the agenda again, and I guess we can just kind of, I don't want it to go dormant, though, is what I'm saying. Let's keep it, let's keep it active, fresh in our minds, so it all of a sudden, you know, 3 months from now, all of a sudden we're like, well, whatever happened to that?
What are you, I know you're trying to get a group together.
Mm-hmm.
What is your time frame of getting that group
That's
together?
Actually what I was just going to say. If you could even assign a person that could come to a meeting, and Bruce Davis with the city is the one that's trying to get us orchestrated, so to get us together, and you're looking at Dr. Fisher from the school district, and Bruce from the city, myself from the chamber, and I know that Vern was going to reach out to Homer also and talk to them.
Who's Bruce from the city?
Bruce Davis.
Oh, Bruce
city
Davis.
Council. City councilman. Bruce from the city. He's the only, you know, the only Bruce that I know of. So.
I know
So if you want to have us reach out to a certain person that wants to sit in on that meeting, that would be great. I think that meeting would be next, would be the next step, and I would say that would be in the next couple of weeks that we're trying to put that together. And then after we at least have that discussion of us, then I would see it coming back to the board again.
Okay. So we just need to maybe, Tony, I think you'd be a great candidate. I don't mean to, listen, hey, if anybody's into legislation issues, guess who that person is on this board? Okay, it's not Dick McNair, okay? It's not Bill Rohde, it's not I, it's not Rick. I know Rick likes that a little bit more than probably the most of us, but you love it.
Let me tell you, I mean, it's good advice what you say. I think we got to have the full board and talk about more of the situation with the full board. But I, one thing that I really like it, I wish I could go in every single one of this meetings every other Monday during the legislation session, because that's very, very important, you know. I mean, there's times that I said, God, shit, I wasn't here last time. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, it is worth it. And, I mean, I've been to Lincoln several times, and the last time that we went, I learned something. Vern took four students, two from South Sioux and two from Homer.
Yep.
Four young girls. So when the Speaker of the House come over and give us a little talk and this and that, those girls kind of chased the guy, you know, and cornering on the corner and talk to him. That guy paid so much attention to those girls, you know. He was just stunning. I mean, just listened to the girls. That was the best moment I ever had on that day. In reality,
it was fun. They were pitching a proposal to him as a
exactly.
new bill.
Exactly.
Because of Iowa school district, with their dual credits, when you are in high school and you take your dual credits in Iowa, you don't have to pay for that class. And in here, we do have to pay. And they wanted to know how they could get that changed. And so they were pitching that to the Speaker of the House, saying, how can we make this happen in Nebraska? It happens 10 minutes away. It happens in Iowa that they don't have to pay, but here we do. So how do we do that? And so he was explaining to them that they would need to bring that forward as a bill. And it was really great to watch the students interact with him and for him to respond back to them.
And the time he spent with them.
Yes, he spent quite a while with them.
Too. That's impressive.
It was very impressive.
Sure.
Okay, So where do we stand on this then? So when you gather a meeting,
yes.
Okay.
Who would my contact be, Tony?
If Tony's willing to be that contact,
let me know.
Okay. I would say it's going to be sometime in the next 2 weeks.
I would, if Tony can't make it, you know, I'd be an alternate.
Okay.
That'd be great. Yep.
Sure.
I'll let him know. And like I said, we're hoping to do that within the next couple weeks. So.
Yeah, thank you.
I know Bruce Dave has been. He's the more of this. I think the Lance, the city administrator, whatever, he called me and he says, what's the deal on the agenda, you know, that discussion, proposal of the county school and London efforts? I don't know anything about it. He says, well, you must not communicate with your city council, because Bruce Davis is the one that, remember the joint meeting that we have?
Well, and we did send this out too, so maybe it just hadn't been forwarded to Lance. I'm not sure. So.
Well, maybe he's trying to get smart with me. I don't know. But
Tony, I would not allow that.
Okay.
But we'll make sure he does know.
I would maybe recommend give Joan an email when you guys are going to meet up, and then she can contact Tony or Rick, and then we'll get somebody there, and then we'll keep this moving forward, Lori.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Lori.
You've got a great idea. Thanks. Okay, we're going to go to D. Is that where I'm at? Yes. We're going to approve or disapprove the inclement weather pay. And this is where we're going to go back up when it comes time, once we make up our mind, to the consent agenda items to be for the approval of payroll claims. So, discussion.
A scenario. I know a group in town here that during the inclement weather, they couldn't make it to work. They were paid for those hours, but they have to make them up. Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know, but it's Great West, and the people that didn't make it to work that day because of the inclement weather have to make those hours up. They were paid for those hours. They have to make them up.
I don't know how we would. How can we make them up?
I don't know. They're working like half an hour. You know, if they took a half hour lunch, they're taking it. You know, they're working that, or if they're stay an hour
later,
half
an hour later.
But that's one way of doing it. I don't know if that's the answer, but you that's what some other companies are doing.
There's a lot of scenarios that we could probably go by and look at. I know the last time I was gone in the meeting, and I put it on the agenda to talk about when we had the closing at noon and they missed out the next day, and I wasn't here with it, but I know that we did not go along on paying them, I guess. I just put two and two together today because I kept saying to John, are you sure we didn't pay them? And he's like, no, we did not pay them. But I was gone during that meeting, and I put it on the agenda, and I felt bad that I wasn't going to be here because I wanted to talk about it. But with that said, I think this Friday, a lot of elected officials are going to meet up and talk about with our new handbook. We haven't been over the handbook for like 5 years, I think, updating some things, every bit of foreign. So I think that probably needs to be an issue to be discussed in there. I feel, this is my personal opinion, I think they should be paid. You look over the last 10 years, I mean, it rarely, rarely happens. I know we're, the money's budgeted for it. It ain't like we're trying to, steal from one to the other. It ain't like we're manufacturing where, hours are being billed and, I don't know. There's a lot of ways you can look at it. I just don't think it's right because of the weather that we had to close down for 2 days and the people had to use their vacation or their personal time. I don't think it's fair myself.
And are you speaking to a specific group of employees?
The courthouse in general, the non-bargaining people. Does it get messy from there?
Just the courthouse personnel. So the people that are in the bargaining units,
they're not in there.
Well, are you going to pay them overtime?
Well,
did Jolene come both days?
The road department showed up for work, of course.
Jolene, too?
Did Jolene show up?
She showed up one of the days. It was closed 2 days, correct?
Correct.
She was gone the very first day, and there the second.
It's whatever you guys feel like you want to do. Is it going to get too messy? If it's going to get too messy, I don't think anybody's going to scream or holler or going to walk out or going to go on strike or anything like that nature over the deal. But I just think that it's something that needs to be discussed. Is it fair? Should we pay them? Should we not pay them? I mean, obviously the sheriff, I was talking to the sheriff earlier, they work regardless, 365. And then as far as jailers, they worked. A few of them had to go pick up to get them to work.
Well, the thing of it is, what the core personnel like the treasurer's office or any you know, they do business with us, they're not going to drive that day and come over. And I mean, realistically, at least the first day, the second day probably, but I don't know.
The second day by noon probably of some sort.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we were all out in it. I mean, you know, the first day was horrid. You know, I mean, we had no business being on the road, and even the next morning. But I'm not going to make a big issue out of the deal. I just want to discuss it, get your guys' feelings on it. If, you know, if we don't want to pay them, fine. If we want to pay them, you know, go ahead, Phyllis.
Okay, I just have a question when you were talking about them making up the time.
What was that? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
When Rick was talking about the company in Salsu that had to make up their time, they got paid, but they had to make up their time. And I had a discussion with you a while back, and you said to me, if my people were working overtime, that I should be marking it on their timesheets. Well, I don't budget for overtime. That's just that much more, you have to pay out. So what I've done with the people in my office is a jury per se. I'm usually there from 7 o'clock till 6-7 o'clock at night on the day of a jury. Well, of course, I'm salary, so it doesn't matter. But when the people that work for me have to be there too, my choice is to either bill you time and a half, or come back at them when they need a 2 hours off to go to a doctor's appointment, or 2 hours off to go run and do some errand. That, okay, we'll make up your comp time.
Like a salary person would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Roughly, so, maybe.
I have a ledger, and
right.
I keep track of all of that, and they don't get screwed, and you don't get screwed from doing it. And so when it comes to a snow day, there again, if I kept track that two girls got paid 16 hours for two snow days, I can guarantee you by the end of this year, they're going to have paid it back plus. And so that's my way of, my thinking of it is that they couldn't help it that the courthouse was closed. One of them lives in Ponca. There was no way she could get here. I don't know. I feel bad, especially more for Kathy, the hourly one in my office. She's not. She hasn't been here long enough to have any extra time in vacation. So if she has to take 2.5 days that she's taken so far of her vacation time to pay for, you know, to get paid.
Well, I'm not saying that she has to take vacation time, but I'm saying
it's either take vacation time or go without the pay, period.
Well, either that or just put a half an hour in each day or another 15 minutes until it's made up.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I wasn't saying taking vacation time. You know, if you take an hour lunch, take a half hour. Type
of deal. And that's what I'm saying. I agree with what you're saying, Rick. That's why I'm...
Well, I've said this before, too. You know, our employees aren't paid the top scale.
And who's going to keep track of that? The department heads?
That just sounds messy to me. That sounds messy.
Can you do the same? We keep track of it amongst our own. That way, like I said, it keeps you guys from having to pay overtime.
Just as long as it doesn't cause us any grief down the road. But when we got these three bargaining units, it can cause problems. I have no problem paying them those snow days because they wouldn't have made, you know, it's just we got to watch the other stuff so it doesn't come around.
Well, I think once we all meet up on Friday with the handbook committee, I think maybe we'll try to. I think this has everybody's mind kind of running a little bit, thinking what can we put in there for the days of bad weather down the road. It doesn't happen that often, but
that's true.
Me, myself, personally, I just don't think it's fair that they have to use other ways to pay to get that money. That's all it is. That's my bet.
And, you know, when we had the courthouse flooded, the deluge rain and everything, so there was people came in here and worked.
We had to. There was court.
Yeah, you know.
We did.
So, you know, some of it was gratis.
That's just an idea that I was thinking, but, you know, I agree with Rick and Scott, you know, I mean, weather and inclement. What about if we give them one day and not pay the other? Just, you know, they give us, we give them, and then we review the the elected officials review the handbook on this coming Friday and go from there. I mean, that's an option. I mean, but whatever you guys want to do, it's just a thought. I mean, maybe we give them some and they give us some, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Pay both and have them make up just one. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
or just no.
I would make a motion to pay them for both days,
okay.
And then Friday you guys get together and go over that handbook and clarify it in there of what we're to do in the event that happens again.
Thank you.
That's my motion.
I second it. That's mine.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I just couldn't agree more. Okay, Joan.
On behalf of a lot of people.
Yep. Okay, Joni, we got a motion and a second to go back to accounts payable.
First we have to do a roll call on this.
Okay, roll call. Let's roll call on this. I'm sorry.
Okay, Rick Buske?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Joni?
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm going to go back to the consent agenda items on B, now that we've gone over D on miscellaneous, and to pay... Inclement, am I saying that right? You're saying it different. I say it one way, but whatever. To pay the for the weather.
Climate weather.
Yeah, whatever. For the 2 days that whatever days they were. So, anyways, payroll claims. I need an approval on the payroll claims on the consent agenda items, please.
And note.
And note that pay the previous inclement weather. Is that what you have down?
Day
2 days. I think it was the second and the third.
Yes. February 2 and 3.
Yeah, February 2nd, February 3rd.
I'll make a motion to approve payroll claims with the second and third snow days being paid also.
Okay.
Second it.
For inclement weather.
Okay. Inclement. What's up, Fred?
Just a question, like I was asked, Jolene worked one day out of the two. She just gets paid for the one day, and their regular day that she works, just a day that she worked.
Correct? I would say that's correct.
Okay.
Okay, can you call roll on that, please, Joan? Did we do that already?
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We got that there. Handled. Am I at Commissioner Committee Reports, I do believe. I know last week, I do believe, our LEC meeting got canceled, and the Dakota County Public Safety Agency .org meeting met, and we met with the two different bonding. It was Emeritus and the D.A. Davidson, and they presented to us the financing that each could do for us, and money is really cheap right now, so I think we are meeting tonight at 6:30 to make a decision on who, one of the two. The county's
done business. They're both good companies.
Right, the county's done business with both of them. One really didn't really compare. The apples, I mean, they're not really... I had Joan look at them, and they're not really comparing apples to apples. I know that Emeritus does a lot of Nebraska business. They're huge. D.A. Davidson, they do a lot all over the place. I don't think either way that we go with. I think overall, I don't know which way the board's going to roll tonight, but one's just a little bit less expensive than the other one. But like I said, they're both good companies. So everything's moving well. I think so far, Joan, just give me what I think they've collected so far today. Was it 9 months, Joan?
Yes.
$323,761 on sales tax money. So,
moving right along.
Yeah, they're moving right along. And they got some things going on with their engineerings, and, you know, there's checks being wrote, and things are happening. So, I know Homer's going to add on and remodel the existing. And I know, of course, obviously, Dakota City's heading out this direction, out by the ball field, and then, everything's going well. I think, things are starting to happen finally. So,
okay.
Anything from you guys, the committee reports?
Well, like you said, the law enforcement center has been canceled. Dakota County Connection. They really excited about they're going to build a youth center. They even got an individual that was going to give them the land. And this building is going to be for the kids after school, you know, until mom and dad gets home, and for the kids to hang up most of it after schools. And it's not going to be just a small room to get together. It's going to be a tennis court, and there's going to be all kinds of entertainment in there.
Where's this going to happen at, Tony, supposedly?
They don't describe the land because the guy that was going to give them the land, they don't want to say anything until...
Is it on the bypass, or is it?
You know, they didn't.
They didn't tell you nothing, huh?
They didn't.
I'm trying to get it out of you a little bit, on it. Maybe you don't know. Obviously, you don't.
But I think it's. I visited with what's her name? That
Jolene.
Yeah. And I said, are you sure they're going to give you that? Positive. It's going to happen. We need to come out with the money. I mean, we got grants through United Way. We got plenty of grants. I think the money is going to be there. So, personally, I think it's going to happen. But I'm sorry, Scott, that I cannot give
you information. Okay, no, that's fine. If you don't know,
they don't give us any more information. The legislation day that I went to Lincoln, I know that three bills that the county could be affected is the 960 adopted Transportation Innovation Act and provide transfer from the cash revenue cash reserve funds, and we need to support that. And the people, the school, they really emphasize on that. Myself, be honest to you, I don't really spoke on behalf of the 958 or 960. I really love it on the 936, which is the heritage tax. And I even approached the Speaker of the House and our Senator. And the bad news about our Senator is 100% to eliminate the heritage tax. He's going to support it to get rid of it. And I have an argument with him, and we never agree on things anyway. But I don't, not with him. The Speaker of the House, what he told me, he says, they're going to be a modification, but he don't know what. And he says, as the way it stands right now, I don't know, Tony, if it's going to happen or not. It's up to the committee and up to the group, the senators. But we would like to modify that. I don't know what percentage or what this. I said, you know, Senator, if you are going to do that, I'm speaking for Dakota County, we're going to be hurt. Because that's the only money we have for rainy day. And if you guys take it away from us, we're in trouble. We really, well, I understand. Well, let's see what happens. It's just a great concern, and let's see what happens. So I don't really have a straight answer, but I was really disappointed with our senator. I really was. He cared less.
But yeah,
he more focused on this helmet law than anything else.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? Listen, I have nothing against
that. They need to pass that helmet law so we don't have to wear helmets. And then he'd do something else.
Was that the only thing that he was for?
That's his priority.
That's his priority bill.
It is. It is a priority
for him.
Okay.
He's got it where you have to wear a helmet up to the age of 24, I think. I read in that deal. And then after that, you don't need to wear a helmet.
Hey, listen, the beautiful thing is he's done before too long. We'll see what the next one brings us, I guess.
But as far as that, the committee is the way it's at. And I'm going to have a meeting today with Lenny and Sony. I'm going to meet the new member.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tony. Thanks for going to Lincoln, too. Mail or emergency business, we have two issues here. The NDOR Mobility Management Project to appoint the county representatives. I just kind of point that out to you guys before the meeting. And I lost my piece of paper that I was looking at. I've talked to John a couple times about this here, and I don't know.
I've read a little bit on it, and I don't know how it even, you know.
I don't know how it
even affects us unless they're going to put some kind of transportation system up through here. Is that, am I reading it wrong?
Well, the only way it could affect us is right now the bus doesn't go to Tyson. You know, those people walk, and they're talking maybe a van project. Nothing's off the table, she said. Because Kearney Lexington also has a transportation problem for their workers.
I wonder how many people actually walk to Tyson.
You see them on the road all the time.
Yeah.
Like coming from the South Zoo down
there?
Yeah. They do.
And
they
bikes.
Walk. They walk and they buy.
I'm sure. Well, my business is right there. I guess I must not look out there much, but I guess I never see that many people.
No, I've been up and down that too. I just.
I guess.
Well, there's people.
There. Okay, so, anyways. So basically, they're looking back to the topic of transportation. I guess what's our next step? I guess I mean, is this.
Well, if you need to appoint somebody, I think it should be somebody that's on the road committee
or the transportation committee.
Who's on the transportation committee?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Bill Rohde.
Yeah.
And he's on road.
He's in the road committee all the
they
time.
They get a double whammy, don't they? Well, I don't know where it's going to go. Do you, Joan, or what's going to happen? I guess I mean.
They said that they would. The project time frame. It's just a one-time project. Project time frame is approximately 8 months, during which we anticipate 3 meetings to be scheduled in each of the 6 regions. Each meeting will be approximately an hour and a half long.
Where they held that?
Well, our region is Antelope, Boone, Platte, Madison, Pierce, Wayne, Cumming, Burt, Knox.
So probably it's somewhere in the center, somewhere
yeah,
between.
Yeah, so probably Wayne or that's that Guessing or something.
And Bill Rohde, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Point, I mean, do you think the transportation, as far as the committees and or somebody on the road department,
and the
bill?
Transportation board.
We'll.
Is it with him?
Yeah, Bill will be at the next meeting. We'll just we'll give him the update on it that we have appointed him to go to wherever Wayne or wherever he can go and do. He likes this kind of stuff anyway, so he'll be fine.
No, he's in the transportation.
Absolutely, that's what I mean. He'll be fine. Yeah. Okay, so let's do that. We don't need to make any motion or anything on that, right, Johnny? We'll just
no, appoint. You appoint.
Okay, we'll just appoint Bill. We'll let Bill.
You appoint. You're the guy.
He should have been here to defend himself, so he's not. So we're throwing him under the bus. Okay, so next, B.
I would be an alternate if he can't go.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Rick and transportation too. That's a good one. Thank you, Rick.
Okay, then lastly here on the mail emergency business, B, we're going to like to discuss and write a letter to the senators on the inheritance tax. That is the bill, the 936, correct?
I received an email this morning asking for a letter opposing LB 936, which is the inheritance tax.
So opposing it.
Opposing it.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think we need to send a letter off.
I imagine it was NACO, wasn't it?
It was NACO. Yes. Yes. Counties are asked to submit a letter or email to the Revenue Committee or attend the committee hearings, and it is soon. It's tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1:30. So good. I'll get it sent yet tonight to the Revenue Committee email. I'll email it, and I've got a little letter ready. Just basically took what I had said at that joint meeting. You know, what we average, what we get for inheritance tax, and what we have used it for, and what our balance is, and what we
you got that
we need it for cash flow, and we need it for, you know, help with the restricted funds lid and keep our property tax requests down.
We lose it.
You know, there's going to be a lot of counties in trouble, and we know there's a lot of wealthy counties out there that are sitting.
Oh, they're sitting good. Yeah,
they are, but. And there's a lot. There's probably more that need it than don't care about it.
Oh, definitely. They don't know.
Yeah, we'd have to probably turn a bunch of prisoners loose and everything because we wouldn't be able to feed them. We'll make budget.
Close the courthouse 4 days.
Yeah.
close the courthouse.
Who knows? Hopefully, you don't have to come down to that. But
and then everybody got a copy of the school district levy rate that Senator Bloomfield sent this morning and asked me to distribute to everybody. So just for your reference. That's our mail.
Okay.
All right, so John, you're going to get that. We'll get that sent off tonight then. Perfect. And then anything else on that? Can I move on? Let's move on to public comment. Anybody? You can do that when you're on your older than 70. It's all good. Any public comment from anyone here? Anyone? If there is none, we are going to adjourn the meeting. Our next regular meeting will be held on February 29th.
February 29th.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. Thanks, everyone.